Hi, everyone. Great to have you with us on Urban Highlights, Cities of the World. Today, we're peeling back the layers of Tokyo, a city of these incredible contrasts. And for first-time visitors, that contrast can feel less like a marvel and, well, more like a total sensory overload.
I mean, look at this quote. It's from a foreign student's online post, and it just perfectly captures that feeling of profound culture shock. It's like Tokyo operates on a completely different frequency, you know? A place where the rules of city life you thought you knew, they just don't seem to apply.
But here's the thing. That initial feeling of being lost, of being confused, that's actually the key to understanding the city. Because behind all the strangeness, all the things that seem totally bizarre or just inexplicable, there is this powerful internal logic. And today, we're going to uncover that logic layer by layer.
Okay, so let's dive right in. We're going to start with the surface, the wonderfully weird things Tokyo is famous for. You know, the stuff that makes you stop in your tracks and just go, am I really seeing this?
First up, the city's obsession with automation. In Tokyo, there is one vending machine for every 23 people. And I'm not just talking about sodas and snacks. We're talking hot meals, fresh flowers, toys, you name it. It's all available 24/7. This city is engineered for ultimate convenience.
And this desire for really unique experiences, it just spills over into its dining culture. I mean, forget just grabbing a coffee. In Tokyo, you can have that coffee while you're cuddling an owl, or being served by a robot, or even training to be a ninja. There are horror-themed restaurants, and get this, prison-style pubs where they actually handcuff you to your table. If you can imagine it, there's probably a cafe for it.
And just when you think it can't possibly get any stranger, you find the Unko Museum. And yep, it's exactly what it sounds like. A colorful, interactive museum dedicated entirely to poop. But here's the crucial thing. These eccentricities aren't just random. They're actually creative solutions to one of Tokyo's most fundamental challenges.
So let's peel back that first layer. What happens when you try to fit more people into one urban area than anywhere else on Earth? Well, you get incredibly innovative. Think about this number for a second. 37.5 million. That's how many people live in the greater Tokyo area. It is the most populous metropolis on the planet. And all of that humanity is squeezed into this incredibly compact space, which creates this intense pressure on every single square meter.
And that pressure, it reshapes everything. I mean, everything. Even our most sacred rituals. Take cemeteries. A traditional cemetery, you know, it's the sprawling, park-like space. But Tokyo has pioneered the vertical cemetery. It's a high-tech building where families use a smart card to have their loved ones urn automatically delivered to a private memorial chamber. It's a solution born of pure, absolute necessity.
You see this logic of hyper-efficiency everywhere. It's in the capsule hotels, which give you this compact, affordable place to stay. It's in hotels that are built literally underneath active, noisy train tracks, where they just give you earplugs at check-in. You can even find urban campsites on artificial grass beneath highway overpasses, because getting out to actual nature can take hours. Every forgotten space is given a new purpose.
But the pressure isn't just about physical space. There's also this complex social space that can be even more challenging for outsiders to figure out. And honestly, this is where that feeling of being lonely and shocked really comes from.
Just like this student discovered, you can't really just strike up a conversation with a stranger at a bar. Making friends or finding a date, it's not really a spontaneous thing. It's all about being in the right circle.
So what that means is that social life here is highly structured. Friendships, relationships, they're usually formed through introductions from people you already know, classmates, coworkers, or maybe people from a hobby club. Just walking up to someone cold is pretty rare, and it can be seen as kind of awkward. It's a whole system built on trust and established networks, not just random encounters.
And these hidden codes, they show up in the most unexpected places. For instance, have you ever noticed that the go signal on a Japanese traffic light looks, well, it looks a lot more blue than green? There's a fascinating reason for that.
It's basically a linguistic fossil. See, in ancient Japanese, the word ao was used to describe both blue and green. The sharp distinction that we make today, it just didn't really exist in the same way. So when traffic lights came along, calling the go light ao just made sense. And even now, to honor that linguistic history, the law actually states the light has to be the bluest possible shade of green.
It's a perfect example of how deep cultural history shapes the modern world in these really subtle ways.
So, what happens when you combine this intense urban pressure with these deep unspoken cultural codes? Well, you get some fertile ground for folklore and some truly chilling urban legends. Let's peel back our final layer.
Every big city has its ghosts, right? But Tokyo's urban legends feel so deeply connected to the anxieties of modern city life, that fear of strangers, the pressure to conform, and the darkness that can hide right behind a seemingly normal face.
Maybe the most famous is the Kuchisake Onna, or the slit-mouthed woman. The story goes, she was a beautiful woman mutilated by her samurai husband, and now her vengeful spirit, her Onyo, roams the streets at night with her disfigured face hidden behind a surgical mask.
And the way the legend unfolds has this terrifying, awful logic. She'll approach you and ask, "Am I pretty?" If you say no, she kills you instantly. If you say yes, she rips off her mask to reveal this horrific injury and asks, "How about now?" If you scream or say no, you're dead. But if you say yes again, she slits your mouth to match hers. It's this terrifying no-win social interaction, a perfect metaphor for the anxieties just simmering beneath such a polite, orderly society.
So, when you bring all of these pieces together, the weirdness on the surface, the innovative solutions to all these pressures, and the dark folklore that's born from those anxieties, the city starts to make this strange kind of sense.
The themed cafes aren't just strange. They're a way to escape for people who live in tiny apartments. Those capsule hotels aren't just a gimmick. They're an ingenious solution to a serious lack of space. The blue traffic lights aren't a mistake. They're a living piece of linguistic history. And the urban legends, they aren't just scary stories. They're a reflection of these really deep-seated societal fears. Tokyo's weirdness is actually this logical tapestry woven from its own unique history and pressures.
And that kind of leads us to a final thought. Every city has its own hidden logic. So what about your hometown? What are its strange quirks? And what pressures, social, historical, or physical, created them? Because the most fascinating stories are often hiding in plain sight. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.